I'm Michael Brennis, and this is the Showbiz Roundup. The performers coming to the 2023 Bluestem Jazz North Street Cabaret Piano Summit invite listeners to open themselves to the layers of sound and harmonic landscape that an acoustic piano can generate, layers not routinely thought about or explored. The four pianists here, Jane Reynolds, Matt Blair, Paul Hastel, and David Stoller, represent the acme of the jazz pianists practicing within a small radius of our fair city. Each as individual as they come, but sharing roots in the 19th and 20th century creative jazz tradition. Each searching for and locating their place in the modern expression of this music. My guests today are Jane Reynolds, Matt Blair, and Paul Hastel, who will be performing at the Piano Summit at North Street Cabaret on January 28th. Dave Stoller sends his regrets. He's got a bad cold today. And he says his voice is too compromised to participate. We'll soldier on without Dave for this. Welcome to the show. Let's do some quick introductions. Tell us who you are, something about your background. What's the first thing you do when you sit down at the piano?
Okay, well, I'm Jane Reynolds. And I don't even remember what you asked. But anyway, it's early in the day for me. My background, you know, I've been doing this for many, many, many years. Where to start? You know, I'm old, so, you know, I've got a long background here. I actually started, in the 70s. Playing here in Madison and hooked up with some wonderful musicians. And I studied with Joan Wildman and became good friends with her. A long association with Lynette, been going on for years up until very recently, off and on. And been composing and working with a lot of musicians over all those years. And then most people know that I was a host of Strictly Jazz Sounds on WORT for 37 years, and that ended last June. And I just wanted to put a plug out for Steve Browngen, who moved out to Columbus, Ohio, and he's just started his podcast of the same name, Strictly Jazz Sounds. So check it out, because he just posted his first one. A lot of background here. And the first thing I think about when I sit down at the piano, is that what you asked, Michael?
Yeah, right.
I guess I don't think much of anything. I just sit down and start thinking about, I just start playing. Or I've got, like most recently, of course, for this piano summit, I've got in front of me all of these different things that I've been revisiting and composing new things and whatever. So right now I'm thinking about composing and working out new arrangements and things like that. It just depends on what's going on at the time. Sometimes I sit down just because I just got to play something, you know, because I just have to work something out, or something comes to mind, or I hear something on the radio or whatever. And it inspires me. I'm always inspired by hearing other people play. And so it depends on who that is and what it is. And all of a sudden I'll get, like this morning, I heard something, on Pandora, I think it was. And I thought, oh, wait a minute. I have these two things that I've been working on rearranging for this piano summit. And, oh, I like the way they're doing that. I like the way that's working out. So I ran to the piano, and that's what I did most recently this morning, was reworked some things that I was working out based on what I just heard this morning. So it's always very in the moment for me, I guess, is what it is. But I always love playing the piano and working these things out. And it's just loads of fun. That's why I've done this for so long. I bet you all would agree with that. It's just a lot of fun, isn't it?
I can go next. My name is Matt Blair. I grew up in Madison and had recently been living in Minneapolis for the last 5 or 6 years, but just moved back in May back to Madison. I do a lot of different things musically, some stuff that's more jazz based, some stuff that is more improvised or electronic or through composed. It's kind of all over the place. And that's what's been occupying me for the last 7 or 8 years, since I left my undergrad. And yeah, I think when I sit down to at the piano, it really depends on the context of what is happening and what the project might be. Sometimes it's stuff that I've written that is very much composed and almost classically composed. Other times it's completely a blank canvas and improvised. I think for this piano summit, similar to Jane, I'm kind of going back to revisiting some older compositions that I haven't played in a while, and treating it as a chance to kind of revisit with old friends in a way and have my life experience since those pieces have been written kind of come through and influence how they'll be played this month. But yeah, I try to keep things really open when I sit down and let kind of the situation guide what comes out. And yeah, as Jane said, also, it's just love to play piano and love to sit at the piano and play. That's a big part of it for me as well.
I guess I'm going. Here we go. Wow. Definitely second that with what Jane and Matt just offered about the fun. It's just a chance to sit down, and it's also therapy. It's a chance to express emotion and feelings, and it's a remarkable thing to have that opportunity. So as my background briefly, I grew up on the East Coast. I grew up in New York City, and first became smitten with jazz when I was 17, many years ago now. and the good fortune in New York City to really see some remarkable music. And I think of, I was just thinking the other day of musicians I actually saw play. I saw Earl Father Hines play, which like takes you back to like the beginnings of the music, which is just kind of mind blowing. And seeing Philly Joe Jones play and Sonny Stitt, and then, you know, running through more younger players at the time. But and then also after college, moving back to the city and living in the city and playing with some great players and cutting my teeth there and learning what it meant to be a player with integrity. Then my wife is originally from Wisconsin. We had a child and we would visit here, and we decided that this is a good place to have a child grow up. So, and I was very heartened because the scene here had musicians on the scene who were really wonderful players. And it seemed that I could sustain my aspirations as a musician here and have it work out. And I'm very grateful because it has over the years, it did work out. I got a chance to play with some players who I made an impression on me and inspired me. Dr. Haven, who was just a remarkable player. He spoke when he played. You hear it in his lines, his soloing. He knew a statement was being made, which I carry with me. And that kind of has become a cornerstone for me in terms of when I improvise. What am I saying? And the idea of following through on ideas and stuff. Michael, you asked what the first thing when I sit down at the piano. It's not very infrequently when I sit down at the piano in the morning and I just play a note and another note, and I sit here and I hear the decay and I hear the harmonics and everything. And I often wonder, you know, what about the idea of capturing that? Like, we play many notes, they go by quickly, but you realize what the sound of the instrument is. And then it leads me to think about, well, what sound can I elicit from the instrument? So I've spent many years playing both out of love for it, but also as just being a musician trying to make a living playing straight ahead jazz. So it kept me within that vocabulary, though in my imagination aspiration, I wanted to grow into other ways, other vocabulary to express and feelings that were different. So, and like you guys for this program, I've kind of drawn on compositions. Some were composed during the pandemic and some of them are older ones, but I worked up as more of a solo piano presentation. And it's been just great. It's been a wonderful thing. And I can, like Jane said, I can hear other players. Like Michael's going to laugh because I keep going back to this, but yesterday I revisited once again Craig Taborn and Chance, that recording. And I just hear the use of space and the rhythmic undercurrent and how it's playful and changeable, mutable. So I think of when I improvise and I think, well, try influencing my flow in that way and trying to make the gestural implications more meaningful and not so much as confined to the kind of rhythmic grid that playing a standard would or playing straight ahead, you know. So there's a different kind of flow. So anyway, that's what I have to say.
We kind of touched on my next question in that last question quite a bit, but I just thought I'd give you the opportunity to share anything else that you might be thinking about for this show. Like, is there anything specific about your performance that you might want your audience to know in order to better appreciate it?
Well, shall I go first again? Well, I really liked some of the things that Paul was saying, first of all, and I agree with that. And, you know, I've explored a lot of different avenues and influences, or more, I guess, inspirations. And some of my inspirations, my earliest inspiration was Bill Evans, always will be, and a few others, but he really stands out for me, always comes out. But now Roscoe Mitchell, who I've known for years and have listened to him, and he always inspires me. And so, and that's speaking to what Paul was just saying about the use of space and the sounds that you can get out of your instrument, which is, in our case, is the piano. And incidentally, I'm so happy that one more venue, that North Street, now has a grand piano, because that's been really a struggle for me for years and years, is that there were venues that either didn't have pianos or they had some old clunker of a piano, and I had to use electronic piano. And I didn't, you can't do that with, you can't do with that. You can't do anything on that like you can on a piano. I mean, I know, Paul, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And you've done wonderful things with like the Rhodes and everything. But I am just thrilled every time we get a really quality, nice piano to play here in town, that because that's my instrument. That's where I really feel that I just love so much. So for this program, I've written a few new things, and I still am not sure exactly everything I'm going to do for this program. I pretty much got it down to a really short list. But just like I was saying this morning, I was just reworking something I had actually taken off my short list. Now it's back on again because I've reworked it, and it was combining I document things. I know that you guys probably do this too, of course, document things, and you might not use it right away. And so I pulled something out that I hadn't used yet and started reworking it. And I combined it with something that I'd written a long time ago, and I totally reworked that. And so that's probably going to be in the mix. And also I love to work with the blues form, and the blues feel. And so I just wrote a new blues based on an old blues, but I also get my inspiration from and work with social issues. And like I've written things that are about environmental issues and, you know, that are inspired by those things. And but this particular one is called the Freedom to Choose Blues. And I'd written this many, many years ago, and I did another version of it that Joan Wildman and I did together once. But now I've written a whole new version of it because of what happened in 2022. So now that we've lost our freedom to choose, this is a brand new blues based on that. And I think I am going to perform that at this thing. I use poetry as inspiration. And so one of the things I'm going to do is something that was inspired by a poem by Langston Hughes called Song for Billie Holiday. And I wrote a blues called Song for Billie Holiday based on that poem. And then also on Billie's performance on the CBS Sounds of Jazz of Fine and Mellow, that also I'm incorporating some things from Lester Young's famous solo from that. So it's really been fun and interesting. Also, I think I'm going to do this thing that called Ozone, and O stands for Ornette. And I was exploring many years ago, I was exploring the harmonics of Ornette Coleman. And so I'm not really redoing that, but I'm exploring that. And what I'm discovering is that, in fact, it's on my CD with Hans Sturm. And back then, I remember, you know, I didn't quite have 100% handle on how to play it, on how to do this. And now I do. After all these years, finally, I figured out, oh, yes, I was missing this little part of Ornette. And that's that he came from Texas playing R&B, and he had this whole blues feel down, and he brought that to his method of composing and playing that involved harmonics, which is in the 50s, which was the first example really of kind of freeing up jazz and freeing up those things, like Paul mentioned, getting away from the harmonic structures of the standards and things like that. And that's what harmonics did. So this has really been a lot of fun to revisit some of these things and to write new things, to be in a totally different place now than I was years ago. And I haven't done all of these original things for a long, long time in a performance. And so this is going to be a lot of fun to do this. And so that's kind of what I've been doing with for this performance. And I'm really looking forward to it.
I think, so for this performance, I have been, like I mentioned, revisiting some old pieces, but I've been trying to treat them a bit more as like kind of modular puzzle pieces that can fit together in different ways, as opposed to kind of classic song form structure, beginning of a song and it goes to the end and that's that, but rather just taking pieces sometimes just little parts, other times full sections, and trying to place them together in different ways. As a way to kind of approach solo playing just approach it in a way that I haven't in a while. I think a lot of the solo playing I've done, especially pre-pandemic, when I was playing more and more out, it would usually just be a fully improvised, play for 45 minutes or whatever the set length might be, and just maybe have some loose ideas, but try to keep things as blank of a slate as possible. And for this, I wanted to try something different and still keep that spirit of improvisation and blank slateness of it all in it, but having some other kind of elements of songs that I've worked with groups on in the past, or just solo pieces that I've written. So it's been really fun for me to revisit this music and see how it can fit together in different ways, see where things, where I'm led that I maybe had no idea I could be led there when the piece was initially composed, or a piece that was written for a trio or something is now worked down to a solo arrangement, or parts of it worked into a solo arrangement. So I've really enjoyed that process of kind of letting these generative forms take shape and influence how the set will hopefully go, or at least we'll have some amount of structure or ideas to it. a lot of the music that I'm kind of working from was written before the pandemic, and it feels nice to reflect on that music, because I think maybe, at least for myself, I'm a much different person now than pre-2020. So it's interesting kind of going back to a different time and place, musically and emotionally, and seeing kind of what these pieces had evolved, or seeing how these pieces have evolved since then, and getting a chance to play them and rework them. I want to echo what Jane said also about North Street having a piano, and another great piano in Madison. It seems like, from my experience in the Twin Cities, there were really only a couple of venues that had pianos, and it was really difficult to figure out how to work around that, which is why I kind of went into more electronics and playing the Rhodes as well, or just even playing sets without the piano, purely either synthesizer sets or sets with laptops and things like that. But I think we're so fortunate here to have so many places that actually have pretty decent instruments. And I'm really, really excited that this is, this piano summit can happen and we can all get to share the joy of playing this new instrument.
To answer your question, Michael, if I would address the audience at all, or would like them to know something, what I've decided to do is to present some compositions. Basically, each one is a vignette, so it's kind of compact. I guess part of it is my excitement about being able to play all of these pieces, and there's six of them. So it's kind of like each one is going to be about like 4 minutes long, 3-4 minutes. So it's almost like a 45 record, and and it's a curious thing because I tend to have a piece of music that comes up and I have an associative kind of story with the piece. So one of the pieces about depicting a nightmare, and the one piece is about a sojourn to the Driftless region and going over the hills and seeing the views, and another one's like a parable, another one's kind of like the desert in the west. So But at the same time, I also think of them in absolute music terms. So it's how, what vocabulary am I assembling to heighten that mood or bring an edge to it in certain ways? In other words, it's kind of like cooking and throwing in ingredients and then exploring the various musical vocabulary directions I could use to elicit the emotion ultimately that I want to share with an audience. So I want to fit it in all within the 25-minute request in terms of the length of the set. So my comments will be brief. And also to honor, I don't know, there probably is more than one musician who said it, but just let the music speak for itself and allow people to have their own ideas about what the music is about.
Pianos are costly instruments to maintain. Not every club can afford to own one, to have one available for performers. So, you know, by necessity, you guys get called upon to play in lots of places that don't have pianos. I'm interested to hear about how you've each dealt with that issue. Have you developed a kind of standard keyboard setup that facilitates playing jazz? Do you play differently when you're not on an acoustic piano? And then, you know, maybe for this, the rest of this question is kind of directed at Matt to some extent, because I think of the three of you, I see him more sort of embracing the electronics realm. But are there things about playing electric instruments that you've taken to and perhaps miss when you're playing an acoustic instrument? And do you find electronics to be sort of essential to your sound in some way? Or is it an entirely separate approach between playing electric versus acoustic?
It is entirely different. For me, at least, and it certainly is. I can remember only one time that I've only ever used, well, I started with using, I don't know if you guys remember the RMI. That was my first electric keyboard, was an RMI, which was, you know, not great. But then I went on, I got a DX7, and I was working with that when that first came out. And then since then, I've had Yamaha keyboards. And I've had to play those a lot over the years because there wasn't a piano. And it is entirely different. Now, there's some fun things that I could do with my Yamaha keyboards, you know, like put on this sort of fake Rhodes sound and do some things with that. And I had the modulation wheel, you know, and I could play around with sounds on there. But that was about it. And so it's approaching it entirely differently. It feels different. It responds differently. You have different, I guess, on the keyboard, bells and whistles, things that you can use to play with the sound. I also would use organ sound once in a while, not very often. And the vibes, I liked some of that. But that's not electronic, though. That's not synthesizer. That's not the same as what Matt's doing and what Joan Wildman used to do and all of this. And so, yes, I did use that out of necessity for a lot of gigs because the piano was really awful or there just wasn't any. It got to be the standard that club owners decided, oh, well, now they got keyboards, so we don't need a piano. It's like, no, you still need a piano, but okay, never mind. And so eventually I got to the point where I just wouldn't, and that's fairly recently, but I just won't go to a gig unless there's a piano or something for me there. And so now, fortunately, there are places that have really nice pianos now around town. And now North Street is one of those. So, and the other thing with the piano is I've also played in the strings. and use effects in the strings. I've done prepared piano where I put things inside of the strings to get a certain sound out of it. Like I have a thumb piano, if you know what that is. It's an African instrument. I've set that in the strings, and then you get a buzzing sound off of that when you put it inside of the strings of the piano. And so I've had fun experimenting with sounds on the actual acoustic piano. And that's really what I most enjoy working with. But then, like Paul was saying, I love the idea of just playing a note and listening to the harmonics. It's like, oh, but there's so much there. There's so much sound in there that we don't even explore or think about in this wonderful instrument, this acoustic piano. And so, so like everybody is saying, oh, it's so wonderful to have this another new piano here in town. And for us to be able to have the honor of going in and playing this new piano and exploring that. So, so that this is coming from a diehard pianist right here.
Having to deal with alternative instruments has been something I've like really thought a lot about and has really influenced me creatively. And starting with the Rhodes, I think like for certain jazz gigs and things like that, it can work okay. As Paul is the perfect example of this, and who's, you know, your Rhodes playing, it was been such an inspiration to me for years and years and years. But I think when I was living in Minneapolis, I was fortunate enough to get this Rhodes before that. But I tried to see this issue of not really being able to play the piano that much, both in terms of gigs, but also just, you know, where I lived. I couldn't have a piano in this apartment. It was impossible to get one inside. So it was frustrating, of course, but I tried to sort of spin it in a creative way and really start thinking about projects that could be built around electric pianos or electronics. So I formed this trio called Big Thanks, which was a bassless trio, saxophone, clarinet, drums, and Rhodes, kind of as a way to investigate that sound world, but also just how myself as a player could compensate for the lack of bass sound. And by manipulating the Rhodes with different sorts of effects and pedals and things like that, we got into some interesting territory. Similar, a duo project that with a drummer that does the same kind of thing. It's taking these sound worlds that are unique to the Rhodes or Rhodes plus effects, and really trying to creatively embrace them and write music that lives within these worlds. Lately, I guess I've been, I should say also with this, it's given me a good opportunity to also listen to more music that I maybe wasn't really thinking about. I didn't check out much electronic music growing up. It was always pretty much jazz or straight ahead jazz or avant-garde jazz, but acoustic usually. By having to embrace more electronics, it also meant having to research more about electronic music for me at least. And that really has inspired a love for a lot of different artists I don't think I would have stumbled upon, or maybe would have just stumbled upon in a different way if I wasn't actually having to like interface with this environment. Nowadays, I again, it kind of depends on the project and what the gig might be. I've started incorporating more synthesizers, modular synthesizer or laptop stuff without a keyboard in general. So trying to just extract that completely, and think about making music without what I'm most comfortable making music on, which is keyboards. And that's been amazing. I think I've really been inspired by that. And as I was sort of was loosely referring to this with this set at that I'm planning for the summit is, you know, thinking about going back to the piano, but still taking in these sort of modular ideas. You know, with the synthesizer that is a modular synthesizer, you're patching things with patch cables. There are these individual modules, and you patch them together in whatever way you want to. They can go and they can interface or feedback on each other or whatever it might be, all depending on how they're patched together. But every time you open your case, if you haven't left a patch, it's a blank canvas. So you start again, you patch in a different way. And sort of conceptually, that's what I've been trying to bring into the acoustic piano realm or solo set. You know, these songs are the modules that I'm trying to patch together in a way that is unique to that specific evening or whatever. You know, maybe it'll be unique to tomorrow when I practice it again or something. But trying to take that same sort of energy and not be so strict about, like, this is what the song is, this is what the song is, this is what the song is, but here are these individual parts and components that can all be kind of placed together in different ways. Sorry if that's abstract, but that's sort of been what I've been taking from this field of electronic music in a conceptual way, but also just in terms of aesthetics of playing. The piano is such an interesting instrument because you hit a note and that's it. So you can't, you know, there's a decay to it depending on how, on many different factors, but it's different from a synthesizer where you could fade into a note or fade in out of a note in a very, like, very controlled way. But trying to think about something as simple as attack, sustain, decay, release, in terms of actually what's happening at the keyboard, has been a good challenge. And I mean, if nothing else, just a creative challenge of, like, touch and how we can sort of interface with these electronic techniques, but in a purely acoustic way. This is just, again, sorry, it's maybe abstract, but it's things I'm sort of thinking about as I'm playing, and I don't have, like, a clear answer or anything, but it's really interesting to try to think more about, like, yeah, just something as simple as, like, attack or decay, and instead of all these notes that are just within our fingertips. Yeah, so my rambling answer, I'm not sure if that made any sense or not, but
a lot of sense, a lot of theory that you're dealing with there. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Matt, I can definitely relate to what you just said. While electronics intrigues me, it's kind of like deciding I'll make time in my life to start delving in. I had at earlier points use synthesizers, but not in a very basic sound-based pursuit way,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And I can, so what you're describing sounds really exciting to me.
Yeah.
I can also understand how you can translate that experience on sculpting sound and from a very basic root and then mm-hmm. have it brought in your awareness to the acoustic piano.
Mm-hmm.
And again, just what I said, I'll play a single note and just revel in that sound and trying to figure out, is there a way I could possibly communicate that enchantment on the piano to people who are hearing something being played? So it poses the premise mm-hmm. that I could actually create an experience, a flow, an improv that delves into that and hope that both I can be in it, in that process, and that other people could appreciate that process. So, but I also, that said, I feel like my awareness is so far ahead of really what I've realized. You know, it's like I'm always feel like, in fact, I played Rhodes for so many years exclusively because of the lack of acoustic piano availability that I feel like I used the pandemic period where I wasn't gigging and I could just be with the acoustic piano at home, that I was really learning how to play the piano. I mean, I was just trying to figure out the approach and the versatility of it. And as far as the Rhodes goes, I just get so many comments from other musicians. Oh, you're hauling that thing around. I have a hand truck and I use a twin reverb amp that I lug around. And my wife is telling me, yeah, how many more years are you going to be doing that before you blow your back out, you know? So, I'll be brief, but I delved into a period of investigating the dark side, which are digital pianos, with the promise that the improved technology, and I went to Full Compass, and I don't know whether it was a Nord, it was a Nord at the time. I was just deciding, okay, I'll give this a chance. And I set it up, but I also had brought my Rhodes because I wanted I was looking for an outboard device to use with it. So this guy is my chaperone. He comes with me, a tech guy. I have the room and I set up the Nord and I play it. And, you know, it's kind of like, oh, I arrived at something where I could live with this. And then I left the Nord and I set up my Rhodes and I with my twin reverb, I play a few notes. And this guy is excited. He jumps up from this couch and he says, can I get my other, you know, colleagues in here? And he brought other people in just to hear the Rhodes. And it was immediately an affirmation to me about the acoustic sound I'm producing. It's not electronic. And it had a warmth and a depth and a character to it. And even the quirks in the instrument, you know, make it an individual, you know, and I think every Rhodes sounds different, just as much as each acoustic piano sounds different. They're just characteristics to it. And it has more of a soul. So that said, I worked with that, but to have an opportunity to play an acoustic piano, and particularly a grand piano, where the enormous range of dynamic and the sheer power of it is just awesome. I mean, when you can dig into it and you feel that, it's just unbeatable. The music's, the instrument's vibrating with you. You feel it. You can feel in your hands, through your hands, the strings of the instrument. It's a one of a kind experience, and it's neat to have at least some resurrection of that instrument's availability in Madison, and it's very heartening. So I'm looking forward to that opportunity again.
Well, I think we can wrap it there. Jane Reynolds, Paul Hastel, Matt Blair, thank you so much for taking the time to participate in this roundtable. Everyone, of course, is looking forward to the Piano Summit 2023 on January 28th at North Street Cabaret, presented by Bluestem Jazz. So thanks to Dave Stoller in absentia.
Feel better, Dave.
Yeah, feel better, Dave.
Yeah,
we miss you.
And we'll see you all at the show.
Thanks, Michael.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Michael. This was great.
That's it for this edition of the Showbiz Roundup. Our theme music is a composition by me, performed by Outside the Sphere, an experimental duo consisting of Tony Barba and myself, with special guest Sebastian Brennis on trombone. If you'd like more information about this show or any of the past or future shows presented by Bluestem Jazz, you can head over to bluestemjazz.org, and you can follow my doings or be in touch via rattletickbuzz.com. Catch you later.